Switzerland toughens rules on corporate pay.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. And we'll start in Switzerland, where voters have approved a referendum to curb executive pay. The move comes less than a week after the European Union announced plans to cap banker bonuses. Marketplace's Christopher Wirth joins us live from London with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so what is Switzerland doing exactly, Christopher?
Well, what Switzerland has done is given shareholders very strong powers to limit the big corporate pay packages that have become so common lately. And there's been a lot of public anger over pay in Switzerland. You had a big case last month where the Swiss pharmaceutical company Novartis gave a $78 million goodbye to its departing chairman. And that money was later handed back, but there was so much backlash, and it really galvanized the mood around this vote over the weekend. And the new rules also restrict companies from paying out these big, extravagant bonuses to departing executives, what we call a golden parachute, and it limits the amount of bonuses that can be paid to incoming chairmen as well.
Now, how do these rules compare to other parts of the world at this point?
Well, you know, in the U.S., we've seen something sort of similar in Dodd-Frank, where that has set out new rules that allow shareholders to weigh in on shareholder pay. But the big difference is those are non-binding, whereas in Switzerland, these new rules allow for companies to actually implement jail time for people who break these rules. And with all this going on in Europe, you might wonder if this puts a lot of pressure on the U.S. and other countries to implement similar laws. I asked Louise Cooper, a financial analyst at CooperCity.co.uk, what she thinks.
Well, if they were smart, they would grab the competitive advantage that Europe and Switzerland has given them and not crack down on executive pay.
So, Jeremy, she says this is a great opportunity for countries like China and India to attract companies and develop their own financial services industries.
Marketplace's Christopher Wirth in London. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, there are already reports of violence in Kenya, which is holding a presidential election today. A disputed election back in 2007 led to weeks of tribal bloodshed. As Julia Simon reports, one of the big issues in the campaign so far this time has been oil.
At a desert watering hole, about a dozen goats and camels drink thirstily as a group of herders looks on. These herders need to make sure their livestock is well hydrated. The animals are their savings accounts, their supermarket, and their insurance. And since oil was discovered here a year ago, the local people feel they need all the insurance they can get. Herder Lobo Nabudan says when the UK-based oil company, Tullow, came here to explore 2 years back, it put up a tall fence nearby. Since then, he hasn't been able to graze his animals on land he'd used for years.
It pains me to move the animals. We don't know where the government will put us, and we worry we will be displaced.
Fears about displacement and land being seized without compensation are rife. Head elder Jessup Lopus says local people are not consulted enough about what's going on, or even informed.
The community feels left in the dark, and we don't know what is happening.
Several non-governmental organizations want to change that. Ikal Angale is the director of Friends of Lake Turkana, an environmental group. She's lobbied the oil company Tullow to talk to the local people about the seismic tests they're conducting at the nearby lake.
So the fishermen brought out their concerns and the oil company gave their answers.
There were meetings too with Kenya's Ministry of Energy. Ikal Angale says it's crucial to get local concerns heard at the top in the capital, Nairobi. So they're making a network of environmentalists, lawyers, and journalists demanding more information about the agreement struck by the government and the oil companies to make sure local people don't lose out.
To have some support within the national level of expertise in terms of policy, legislations, and details like that.
Back at the watering hole, the herders say today's elections are an excellent opportunity for local people to hold local officials accountable. That's why everyone here intends to vote. In Lokichar, Kenya, I'm Julia Simon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 1.5% in Hong Kong, 0.6% right now in Frankfurt. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow ticked up 35 points, rather Friday, 35 points up to close at 14,089.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The late Larry Hagman will make his final appearance as J.R. Ewing on TNT's version of the show Dallas tonight. Hagman died of leukemia in November. Marketplace's Sabri Benishor reports on what the death of the defining character means for the future of the show.
J.R. was the TV villain that an entire generation of Americans loved to hate.
You make me sick.
Keep out of my way, Pamela, or I'll destroy you.
We all knew what he would be when he came back, which is evil. But reptilianly, charmingly evil.
Dominic Patton writes about TV for Deadline Hollywood. He says season one of The New Dallas opened with a bang last June, but its audience is down 60% now. Patton says it's partly timing. Season two started in January.
You know, they're bringing Dallas back when the Super Bowl and reality shows were all at full force. That's a, you know, that's a hard game to win, man.
Brand strategist Adam Hanft says the show might bring back more actors from the original series to create some buzz. But even without JR, he expects regular Dallas viewers to keep tuning in.
People who love this show really love the show. And as a result, I think fans will give a hall pass for a while to see what emerges.
JR Ewing is gone, but the show he made will live on. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.
And finally, beer maker Anheuser-Busch InBev is defending itself against allegations that it waters down its beer. The company, which makes Budweiser, took out full-page ads across the U.S. after a class-action lawsuit was filed accusing the company of overstating its alcohol content. The ads show a can of drinking water with the caption, "They must have tested one of these." In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.